This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meets the eye test. As always, the spinoff from Two Birds on a Bat, brought to you from our friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. My man, Randy Green, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. If you need the construction team, the heating and cooling team, or the electric team, they have 35 years experience. Randy's a second-generation craftsman and just one of those old school guys. If he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And unfortunately, in today's world, that's just not too common. So if you're looking for somebody you can trust, somebody that can help, and you know, somebody that you can count on, it's InnovativeCompanies.com. As we come to you today from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal baseball, I can't help but, you know, think that, you know, we can't wait for spring training. And we can't wait to see things, and we can't wait for the first comment of he's in the best shape of his life, and we can't wait for comments like, you know, he worked on it, he changed his swing, or he found a new pitch. I mean, the things that we hear every spring training, and it just seems like the other thing that we hear every spring training is somebody's arms hurt. And in a world of here we go again, and we feel like we're the only team in the universe who deals with this, the St. Louis Cardinals once again have a – ailment among them, and it comes to a guy that has, you know, that I'm not going to say he's brought this on himself because it is what it is for me, but a lightning rod for controversy, some by his own doing, some by ignorant assumptions. But be that as it may, here we are again with a sore shoulder and a GM who apparently is frustrated enough that he voiced some concern about how it happened in the media. So if the GM can voice some concern, well, then I think we can voice some concern. We can voice some concern anyway, because you can do whatever you want to do in this world, as long as it doesn't affect or hurt somebody else, right? So it got me thinking yesterday as I was, you know, contemplating what to talk about on Bow Ties and Bullshit, as the guys always like a little day buffer. It just got me thinking, okay, if this is an issue, and let's face it, the only people that know if it's a real issue are the Cardinals. We can speculate all day long, and we can talk about what you would do or I would do. But the reality of it is, if it's a real issue, what do they do? And that's always a great open-ended argument, because there's what I would do, there's what you would do, and then there's what the Cardinals are going to do. So it's always a great topic for discussion whenever a train wreck happens. The train has wrecked. And let's find out what most people think about it. For our first guest, who, you know, I love to associate this gentleman with barbecue, so we'll definitely bring him in under the Adams Barbecue segment, open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays till 7 o'clock. Don't forget their catering, and please don't forget their availability for box lunches. They also do some delivery. I think you guys might find that if you listen to the Blues Show on our other show that we do, with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, they're currently running a promotion over there to attend a live taping of the Blues NHL podcast. You simply just have to go to Adam Smokehouse, have some lunch or dinner, take a picture, tag Adam Smokehouse and St. Louis Blues and send it, and you're eligible to join them live for a show that'll feature Tony Twist, another friend of Jamie. You know, it's going to be a great day. So you can learn all about that over at Blues NHL Podcast. But for our show today, it is the Adam Smokehouse segment, and it is the one, the only, Kyle Reese. What's going on, pal?
Hungry now. God, I need some Adam Smokehouse in my life right now.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know why, but I just, you know, attributed you to Adam Smokehouse. I don't know if it's the fact that you can have a nice whiskey with some barbecue, I'm sure would be okay. I'll start this way. When you heard yesterday that they were shutting Carlos down for 2 weeks and there was an issue with the shoulder, before you even heard most comments, what went through your head?
You know, I didn't I heard it all very segmented.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was working, so all I heard right away was that Martinez was hurt. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. And then honestly, I thought, because I heard earlier in the day that Alex Reyes, his throwing session was bumped up because he's making such positive progress. My first initial thought was, well, that worked out perfectly. Holy cow, that couldn't have worked out any better. It's almost like it was planned. And then a couple hours later, I found out that it was only going to be for 2 weeks. They were just shutting him down as a precaution. And when I heard that, when I read that, it came with being able to hear Mike Schilt's comments on it. And Mike Schilt just kept saying over and over again, you know, this isn't a structural issue. This isn't a matter of him not working hard in the offseason. It's nothing like that. It's just he's not ready physically to be where he's at, you know. And then a couple hours later, I worked 12 hours yesterday. Towards the end of my 12-hour shift, I saw the final comments from Mr. Mazzelak, where he's, you know, he expressed his disapproval of it all. And I thought, something is all weird here. Why does it keep getting like this? Those were my first reactions. Like, from an immediate, like, replacement standpoint, my first thought immediately went to Alex Reyes and Dakota Hudson, honestly. And then as it progressed, I thought, well, we might be jumping the gun even about needing a replacement. We'll see what it looks like in 2 weeks. And then from there, I was like, wow, this escalated quickly.
Yeah, you know, I think first off, I will say, I'll give you my thoughts. When I saw it, I thought, I didn't think much of it. This happens. He's had a shoulder issue before. If everybody remembers, I think it was it about 3 years ago? He was doing really, really well, and they had to pull him out of a game with shoulder discomfort, and then they had to shut him down, and it was when we were trying to make a run, I believe, or maybe it might have been our last playoff appearance. I can't remember what year it was.
And it was either 3 or 4 years ago. I cannot remember either.
And I was worried, you know, because, you know, a shoulder sometimes, especially when they shut you down. Now, some of that was obvious. He's our young guy. You know, unbeknownst to us at the time, this was about the time it was him and Shelby Miller, and they chose Carlos Martinez over Shelby Miller. And the reality was, it was like, okay, that's always concern, right? Shoulders are tough. You don't want the elbow or the shoulder hurt. The elbow, it seems like, you know, if you're willing to take a year off and then another year of getting back to where you were, it's like you can come back from an elbow. If you really screw the shoulder up, I'm not sure you ever come back from that. I mean, that's just my experience of watching and following. But I will say that Mozeliak's comments were the ones that kind of caught me, because if you like math at all, which I don't, the two and two here is Schilt saying there's nothing structurally wrong here, and he did work. And then if you take Mozeliak's comments, and if you like to read into things, boy, it sure sounds like they don't like the way he got ready. This is almost their fancy way of saying he didn't show up to camp ready to go. Now, when people say, what does that mean, and how do the Cardinals not know this, I don't claim to know everybody's system. I don't claim to know what everybody does. And let's face it, it evolves rapidly, like how they're getting guys ready and what they do. The general rule of thumb always was is that a pitcher gets on the mound for the first time 6 weeks before he's going to throw a ball in competition. So, you know, to prepare themselves for that first game. So, you know, and I've learned that from a lot of people. So if you think about it, they show up to spring training and they're actually throwing an inning or two, right? Or not even, less than a month into it, right? So they get on the mound for the first time probably the last couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks of the off season. Now, some guys might do a little pitch mapping and things like that, but, and I know other people do it a little bit different, but that's the general rule of thumb. I don't, you know, if you don't know, and that's fine. These guys don't go, like, when they work all winter, they're not pitching off a mound all winter. They do a lot of flat ground stuff, a lot of arm strengthening stuff, a lot of different things. And then, you know, then they because that's their time off the stress of the mound. So I don't know about you, but did this signal to you that maybe they didn't feel he did enough of that?
Yeah, so in that the quote, that initial quote where Mr. Mozeliak mentioned about being unsatisfied, or, you know, the tones were that they were he was dissatisfied with what happened this offseason with Carlos Martinez. Those were from Mark Saxon. He tweeted those out, and that's what really got the play. But in the within the article that he wrote in The Athletic, which you need a subscription for and you should subscribe to, Mozeliak went on to, like, further elaborate on those thoughts. And what he kind of said, and I wish I had the comments in front of me, it was something along the lines of, he worked hard. We know he worked hard, but he didn't work hard to strengthen the shoulder. He just worked to get stronger. So, and again, that goes back to your point. Like, everyone has their own workout. A team cannot force a player to adhere to their workout regimen. They can give them an idea and tell them what they need to do, but they can only do so much. So that's, to me, that's where the disconnect is. I think that they think that he went in, he worked out hard every day, just didn't do the right things to strengthen the proper areas of the shoulder. So I definitely think that's where the disconnect is between Mr. Martinez and Mr. Mozeliak in the front office.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into this, and you know, it's like, it's funny because I don't know, like, what guys do in the off season is such an interesting thing, right? Like, they scatter all over the place. Some of them stay. Some of them do this. Some of them reach out, and I'm assuming, because you saw that they did some start early and start working with the actual staff from the team. Like, I think we had heard that Jeff Albert had started messing around with a couple of the guys or whatever. But, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I know the guys that do this. A lot of them head somewhere, and they go hit with somebody. And they hit every day, and they do video, and they start analyzing their swing with data, and they start going, okay, I need to make this change in my swing, and they do all this stuff, and da-da-da-da-da. Same thing for pitchers, right? Like, we're very fortunate to have one of the best in the country right here in St. Louis, and it's called P3 Premier Pitching. I've known those guys for a long time. You know, they have guys that come in from all over, pro guys, college guys, prospects, young guys, high school guys, young kids, and this is exactly what they do. If you ever go over there, it's a fascinating thing to watch what a pro guy is doing over there. The left-handed guy from that's getting a shot with the Cardinals, is his name Tommy Lane?
Yeah, Tommy Lane.
He was there one day, and actually Benji was in town, Molina, and I wanted him to meet Josh and Brian, so I took him by there. It was the day he went over to the Gators and did the hit tracks and P3,
awesome.
The P3 building's right behind the Gators facility because they're kind of married up, right? So we went in. I wanted to meet him, and Benji right away is like, "Hey, that's the left-handed guy. I saw him last year at something, and that's the one." And he knew right away who he was. And we were watching these other guys throw, and he goes, "Watch when this guy plays catch. It's going to look different." And boy, it did. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, you could tell. So. You know, what's funny was for a normal human, I'm watching him, and he's just throwing on the ground, and he's playing a little bit of long toss, and he is throwing it. And Benji's like, "Yeah, you know, he's not like a flamethrower." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's not flamethrower." You know, so, but the long and short of it is this stuff goes on everywhere. There's all kinds of things that go on right now. Some of it, like drive line, you all see drive line, and believe me, Trevor Bauer has really brought a lot of light to them. But they've had a lot to do with Trevor Bauer's success and resurgence. And they've done it for a lot of people. So I would say they're probably the most notable one in the country. But if you're familiar with these at all, it goes on everywhere. Now, it's a matter of what you do, who you do it with, and who you're comfortable with. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe the Cardinals aren't all that keen on what he was doing. But it sounds to me like, I think you're more on here, that maybe he was just working out and not working out correctly. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely how it sounded. Just from the problem is, you know, with 280 characters, you only get that one snippet. And sometimes even if that snippet is followed directly by another tweet or a thread or a retweet with the next quote, like, that gets lost with the initial thing. And That's definitely what it sounded like. And especially hearing Mr. Schilt, you know, Mr. Schilt kept saying over and over again, like, he was almost laughing about how it's not necessarily something to be completely worried about. And like, again, a manager has a different role in these circumstances than a front office does. You know, Schiltz is still working the room as best he can, you know, to earn the trust of his players. And there's definitely like a different note there, a different tone there, rather. And like, I get that, but it definitely seemed like, you know, Mr. Schilt was just kind of not blowing it off. He understands the importance of it, but they made a decision with it being this early in spring training that now is the time to do it and to reevaluate. And again, this is not something where I don't think it's the kind of thing with the pitching depth that the Cardinals have that you get reactionary. You give some guy a 5-year, $100 million contract if you weren't going to do it anyways. Maybe you readjust in 2 weeks if he still isn't throwing, something like that. But I just, you know, you don't change your plan that drastically without knowing what it's going to look like in 2 weeks, especially with the market moving as slow as the market moves, you know.
Is this an instance where – and again, I had Mark Saxon on the show. Now he has become, it seems like, a guy that is very careful in the first line of his tweets to do what he's supposed to do, and that's draw attention to it.
Yeah.
Would you think, and again, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, do you think this is another instance where if you were to ask John Mozeliak, what do you think about Mark Saxon tweeting out that you were not totally thrilled? Would John Mozeliak probably say, I don't know that I would have used those words. I probably would have used the words that I'm frustrated because here's my supposed to be my number one guy and he shows up and his arm's not ready.
Yeah, my guess would be, you know, if you're interviewing Mo and you ask him about it, if you were to comment, he would say, he didn't have a problem with him tweeting out what was said. He just would have liked for there to be more character so that the rest of the quote, the rest of the context could have been provided. I think that was really
right.
I mean, that's the issue. And it's not, again, like you said, Mr. Saxon knows what he's doing. You know, he, over the last couple of years, he knows how to drum up attention to some of his articles and what he's saying. And even then, like that tweet that he put out yesterday, it's just the first part of it. He maxed out characters and he did follow up that tweet with the next part of it. But I think that part got lost, you know?
Yeah, I you know, I get it. The you know, you do what you do. Benji's talked about it before on here, and he likes Mark a lot. But, you know, these guys' job is to get people to check on it. And at the end of the day, you can take from whatever article you want to take from it. Now, I would say, like, here, I'm a human being, right? Like, if I'm John Mozeliak and Carlos Martinez shows up, the reality of it is, whether you like Carlos Martinez or not and whether you're a Carlos Martinez defender or not, like, I love him. Like, I wouldn't put him in the bullpen. I'd start him. I wouldn't trade him. I would keep him. I think he has Cy Young potential. But that also doesn't change the fact that I don't know that he's becoming a guy that there's always something going on. Then whether you like it or not, and I don't really care if you do or not, okay, if you're involved in athletics, okay, let's start there, much less the highest level of it, being a guy that's always got something going on gets old. Okay, I don't know if you work, okay, but if you work somewhere and you deal with an employee that always has something going on, it becomes a pain in the ass, okay? Now, these guys are uber talented, so a lot of times they get a lot of latitude. But again, it's just something else going on. And this has nothing to do with blue hair, okay? Nothing to do with blue hair. All right, and I think we all know what we're talking about here, right? And in the end, sooner or later, you know, this thing is going to kind of come to a head one way or the other. And one way would be some of this stuff that seems to be happening more and more with him is going to stop, or it's going to keep happening, but it's going to happen somewhere else. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, to your point, you know, even if you love the guy, if you're John Mozeliak, say he's your best friend, you know, he shows up to camp and now he's not ready to pitch, you're disappointed. I mean, there's disappointment that comes with that, regardless of how much work, you know, what kind of work, all that stuff. Like, it's just a disappointment. And if you're in Mo's seat or Mr. Gersh's seat, the last thing you want is your most talented. I mean, Jack Flaherty's an amazing talent. You know, Wainwright had a great career. Waka can be amazing. Michaelis was lights out last year, but your best pitcher with the most talent comes to camp and he's not ready. it sucks, and it's disappointing, and it's disappointing for a front office, and it's disappointing for a fan base. It's disappointing for Mr. Martinez, but I can only imagine, like, in that room, and I'm sure his teammates are picking him up, but if we're having this conversation, you know at least one other teammate is having that conversation too, and that sucks, you know? So hopefully in 2 weeks we're not talking about it, but it's happening.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing too. A lot of people would say, like, anytime there's talk of a player that either might be an issue guy or might struggle with this or that, what does everybody immediately always say? Oh, Yachty will take care of it, right?
Yeah.
Yachty will handle it. Well, do you think for 1 minute that Yachty hasn't been a good teammate to Carlos Martinez and tried to say, hey, man, you can't do this or you can't do that? Guys are going to do what they do.
Yeah.
Now, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You know what I'm saying? And Never. That doesn't mean that some guys don't get the message. Okay? But in the end, let's just hope that it is exactly what they said it was, and it was a guy that worked his butt off but maybe just didn't do some of the right things, and he's just not ready, and he will be ready, and all will be fine. But let's move past that and say, what now? And the what now is, let's say, what do you do, and what do we think the Cardinals do? So I'll let you go first. What would you do in this instance as a team? And what I mean, I think you know where I'm going with this. Would you make a change? Would you do nothing and just figure it out from within? Or would you go a different route? And then what do you think the team will do?
The timing of this is what's really peculiar, because it almost limits exactly what you can do. If this had happened a month ago, then maybe you have a different philosophy. I think if I'm in charge, if I'm sitting in Mr. Gersh's or Mr. Mazalek's chair, I'm playing the next 2 weeks out. I'm seeing where it goes. And again, unless I can get Dallas Keuchel on some crazy one-year deal, that's the direction I'm going in. I'm allowing the pitchers. And, you know, it almost works out well. And now that I'm thinking about it, you know, think about how often in the past, like, we've gone into spring training games and, like, Adam Wainwright sat out the first couple of weeks. You know, even when Wainwright was good, or Carpenter would miss the first couple of weeks, you know, just giving him extra time. Like, this isn't uncommon. The way that we got to this point is uncommon. But how I would do it is I would wait out the next 2 weeks. I would see how it goes in the next 2 weeks and adjust from there. I'm confident that the Cardinals have enough pitching depth, with potentially high-end pitching depth than Alex Reyes, and maybe even Dakota Hudson, who I'm not as high on as maybe some other people. But I'd play it ear. I'd play it by ear. I'd see what Alex Reyes looks like, how he's responding. I'd see how Carlos Martinez is doing and how he's responding. And honestly, I would have signed Bartolo Colon 100 years ago just for the entertainment value of it. Not because I would want him to pitch. I'd want him to be like a bat boy or taco greeter or something amazing like that. But that's the direction I would go in. I wouldn't do a whole lot. I'd wait 2 weeks. I'd see what it looks like, because I would know that I'm not going to sign Dallas Keuchel. And there isn't a whole lot else on the market other than like Gio Gonzalez. And that's not good enough for me as compared to what I have within the system. Now, what do I think the Cardinals are going to do? We've been talking about it since the beginning of the offseason. I cannot believe for the life of me that they haven't brought Bud Norris back. I thought for sure Bud Norris or somebody along the lines of Bud Norris would get brought back in. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bud Norris or a pitcher like Bud Norris is willing to take a minor league deal, that the Cardinals don't bring someone like that back into the fold. Like, I think that they'll stand pat unless they can do something like that. And I think that's what I think will happen. They're not going to sign Dallas Keuchel. That's out of the picture. And again, unless there's like a crazy 1 year deal or something like that. And even then, I doubt that they do it. But yeah, that's what I think will happen. And that's what I would do.
Okay. I'll give you my thoughts. I'll start with what they're going to do. And the reason is I'm going to take the easy way out here. I have no idea. Now, because let me say why that's my answer. Because they have been all over the board with shit like this. I mean, last year we all sat here and I mean, out of the clear blue, they signed Greg Holland, you know, and it's like, that was not Cardinal-like. But it was a one-year deal, right? They had money. It was a one-year deal. It made a lot of sense, but it's not. It didn't seem like something they would do, right? So for you to sit here and go, well, they're going to do nothing because that's what they always do is nothing, is inaccurate. Because last year they felt they had a need and they went out because the situation dictated it was available. they went out and did it.
Yeah.
So the reality of it is, for me to sit here and go, well, what they've proven is that they're going to do nothing would be ignorant on my part. And for me to sit here and go, well, look what they did last year. They're going to go out and address this would also be ignorant because, I mean, it's not like it's something that they've routinely done. And Let's be fair, they did it and it didn't work.
Yeah, and also it happened on the last, like, it happened on opening day.
Right.
You know, like, with we're talking about almost a month and a half from
sure.
now. And also the price fell down dramatically.
So
it was a perfect storm.
Right. So for me, I'm sitting here going, I don't know what to say they're going to do. Oh, the easy thing is to say, God, we got so many young pitchers. We're just going to figure this out. And Alex Reyes is the X factor as well. It isn't like we've got a bunch of guys that are young and we're worried about. I mean, if this guy's right, he's proven at this level that he can be a dude, right?
Yeah.
Now, what would I like him to do? I know you keep bringing up Keuchel. I want to go the other way. Okay? I want to go the other way. If I'm the Cardinals, I don't understand why this is so hard. I've seen other teams do this. Let's go get strong with a proven talent. Let's go get Kimbrel, and let's back it out. Right? Because now with Hicks, Kimbrel, Miller, and then the rest, you basically brought a couple guys into serious contention to be that fifth starter and to figure it out. One of them being John Gant, who can't go back, right?
Yeah.
Who showed that he was pretty good, okay, as a starter. Dakota Hudson, while I know he's not your favorite, that's what he was in the minors, and I always say, I mean, let a guy do what he does. Austin Gomber gives you that left-handed option. Ponce de Leon shows you some stuff. So that's where I'm at in this. Go the other way. Bring in the guy that saved that's been in the World Series and saved the – you know, bring that guy in, and then all of a sudden, you go from a uh-oh to a, boy, look at our bullpen. And as long as this thing gets right with Carlos, since we're not sure, boy, oh, boy, look how strong we are and how deep we are. Now we might even be able to make some moves. So that's what I would do, but who knows? And like I said, I can't say they won't do that. I can't say they won't. I don't know. Interesting to me.
It's tough because those are moves that we would think about making regardless if the Carlos Martinez thing happened. You
correct.
Know?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's my point. It almost seems so logical that whether they'll do it or not is a total another like animal. But I will say this, judging by the fact of what they did with Greg Holland last year, I don't think it's ignorant to say there's no way they haven't thought about it. Or there's no way they haven't. I would bet they've reached out to Kimbrel's people and said, hey, where are you at? I mean, spring training is going on here. Where are you at?
Yeah.
You want to do a pillow deal? How about we do a 2-year, 1 year with an option? And whatever. I don't know. Who knows? But my point
is, great.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Or hey, we'll give you a 1 year and let you go back out next year. Or we'll give you a player option for the next year. I don't know. So I'm just saying. It'd be shocking to me if they hadn't reached out to him. Now, to your point, too, I would imagine they've probably also reached out to my guess would be they've probably reached out to Keuchel and said, hey, where are you at? Right?
I would think so. Do you think they've reached out to Bartolo Colon? I really want Bartolo Colon, but for no reason at all. Like, I don't want him to pitch. I just would really like for Bartolo Colon to be a part of this team. Maybe like a third baseman or a second baseman, something like that, if the shift, because of the shift.
Did he not re-sign with Texas?
Honestly, my guess is he's probably in Tijuana in some bathhouse, just taking it easy. I don't know if he re-signed with anyone or not.
Man, you've almost got me now wondering. Baseball free agent. Here I go on the old Google machine, right? Baseball free agents, 2019. Let's see if he's still on the list because he'd be on the tracker if he wasn't.
I thought he re-signed as a catching prospect for the Twins.
I know you love the guy. Yeah. I mean, and you're right, for comedic value, he is something else. Let's see here. Bartolo Colon.
You just keep, this is how you kill time on a radio show.
Bartolo Colon. Well, I mean, everybody, listen, I think you're right though. I think everybody's getting a kick out of Bartolo Colon,
So yeah, he's the best.
God, you know what's funny though? here I am looking at this and looking at some of these pitchers that are still out there.
There's some good relief
unsigned
pitchers, right?
Unsigned. Yeah, I mean, guys that you could say, you know, to your point, if they wanted to get deeper because they thought this might be an issue, I mean, there are some interesting names out here. I would say probably most notably, well, Dallas Keuchel, but there's Kimball. Yeah. A.J. Ramos is interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan Madsen's interesting.
I am interested in how you're going for bullpen. I think that that's a really, like, it's a really interesting way to go.
I only go if it's a guy that's been in the ninth inning before. That's my point.
I like that.
And I understand that we have Andrew Miller. I like Andrew Miller better in the role that I think we all would like to see him in.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I know my partner in crime, Benji Molina, is like all excited that they're not going to name a closer. That's not my thing, but
yeah,
that's okay. I mean, who am I? So, I have a hard time believing anybody in the world that even is on that train of, I'd rather you not name a closer. If you look at him and say, okay, I'm okay with that, but what if I told you you could have Craig Kimbrel? Or what if I told you you could have a guy for basically nothing like A.J. Ramos who has closed games and just bring him in? Would you say no to that? I mean, I have a hard time believing people would say no, but that's okay. I mean, like I said, I don't have an issue with people being people and saying, look, this is what I believe and this is what I like. It's fine. I don't know. This whole thing is, God, kind of hurts. But... It wouldn't be a training camp if we didn't have a walking wounded walking around and freaking everybody out, myself included.
Yeah, fingers crossed that this is the last one we have to deal with. You know, I mean, apparently in the commish's PD, post-dispatch chat, he mentioned that there's belief that Ozuna is going to have to start the year on the DL, and then all of a sudden that becomes another area. Of course, we're still a month and a half away from that, but even that the commish is talking about it is kind of interesting. You know, hopefully... That's all just to say, once again, that hopefully this, right at the onset of spring training, a pitcher with no structural damage who's just dealing with some weird shoulder fatigue is all that we have to deal with. That would be amazing, and hopefully that's the last of the conversation.
Well, I'm watching a golf cart ride down at spring training, and Marcell Ozuna doesn't look the least bit concerned that he's not going to start the year. So, you know, if he's not concerned, why should we be? Listen, I don't, you know, who knows? I've said this once, I'll say it again. There are so many things going on that we don't know anything about, that, you know, we're unaware of. You know, they probably have a much better idea what they really think the deal is with Carlos. And, you know, let's be fair about this too. If you did see something in the next couple of days, it would tell you that they're concerned.
Yeah.
If you see nothing, it would tell you one of two things. Either they're pretty sure he's going to be okay, or, you know, or they're going to stay this course. Before you go, the last name, I mentioned this name and you mentioned him, and I got to ask you, how big of an X factor do you believe Alex Reyes to be?
Well, I don't know if you remember when we did that a couple weeks back when we were talking about, like, who could be the most important part of the Cardinals season, you know, when we were doing – you know, you remember what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't remember exactly how to characterize it. I'm sorry for that. But before I said Carlos Martinez as my answer, I flirted with Alex Reyes, but I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him. But this is exactly why he's the biggest X factor. And I should have just stuck with my stupid answer, but I'm stupid. And stupid people do stupid things. Because he is a true difference maker. Whether he ends up going to the bullpen, whether he ends up going into the starting rotation, he is a type of talent that organizations don't have. Because it's that elite. He throws three potentially elite pitches and then one average to above average pitch. He is super elite. And if he shows anything like he showed when he was working his way back from Tommy John surgery last year, if he shows to be anything like that, like he was at the minor leagues, that's the best I've ever seen him. Command, control, tempo, masking pitches. He started doing something brand new last year, where he was doing that Johnny Cueto thing, where he'd slow down his motion to home plate out of the windup. He would just like stop mid windup and then go or change it. Like, and he was in complete command of all of his stuff. he hit a new level last year. He was on the cusp of hitting another level. He is as supremely talented of a pitcher that's come through this organization, and we're talking about an organization that just produced one of the 3 to 5 best rookies in the league in Jack Flaherty. He's potentially another level. It's like having, you know, they're not the same level, but it's like having Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. If you have Flaherty and Reyes, if Reyes is pitching as well as he can and Flaherty is pitching as well as DeGrom, and not like 2018 DeGrom, I'm talking about like DeGrom's whole line of work. Like, it's having that good of a 1-2 combination. Like, it's that rare. So he's absolutely the X factor here. If he's healthy, if he's not pushing himself too fast, which is one of my concerns now, he changes the team. He changes the team. As a matter of fact, his presence in the roster on a regular basis, you know, I've been very bullish about saying the Goldschmidt and Miller signings make the Cardinal like an 88 win floor team with like a 90 to 92 win like ceiling. I think if you're getting everyday production, or, you know, all season production out of Alex Reyes, if everyone stays healthy, then you're talking about a team that can win 94 to 96 games. I just think he's that amazing of a talent. And as someone who writes about prospects, and like half of my free time in life is dedicated to prospects, I always try to undersell prospects when I talk about them. I always go out of my way for the exact reasons that you and I talked about last week, where, I mean, you nailed it. Like, what, maybe 10% will, maybe 1 to 5% will ever reach their ceiling. Maybe another 5 to 10 will end up being like, 5 to 10% will end up being major league contributors. It's so rare. Like, I'm always, in all of my write-ups for the Dirty 35, I'm always underselling talent and prospects, trying to temper expectations. Alex Reyes is a rare talent where you don't have to temper expectations, because even if it doesn't go well, you'll still see how good he is. Just like where Ankiel was before Ankiel got hurt. That's how much of a difference maker, or, you know, Alex Reyes can be.
No, I agree. I mean, there's something special about him. I mean, there, you know, I always say this though, there's lots of guys that have come up that there's been something special about him. And just like the emotional or the mental aspect of pitching is important, the ability to stay healthy is just as important. And I hope that this isn't a guy that we're not looking back in a few years that's like, man, he just couldn't stay healthy. Yeah. Hopefully we can get past that. I mean, he wouldn't be the first guy to fall into that trap of just his body, just, you know, whatever. But he also wouldn't be the first guy to, you know, to go through a rough patch and then figure it out. So, and yeah. I don't say figure it out like it's his fault. I mean, this is, you know, it's just a rough thing to do, throw a baseball, especially with that energy, that force.
Yeah.
It just is what it is, man. It's a tough thing. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, I'll tell you, they can study this all they want, and they still can't figure it out why one guy gets hurt and another guy doesn't. I mean, it's just, you know, there's always factors, and there's always things that give people alarm. People have been saying Chris Sale is going to blow his elbow out for how long, because he's an inverted W, and he still every year just dominates. Every time an inverted W guy has Tommy John, they're like, oh, there it is, another inverted W guy, but here's Chris Sale. Skinny frame, inverted W, no Tommy John. You know, I don't know. Like I said, Darren Hendrickson at St. Louis University, good pitching guy, good baseball guy. He's told me once, if anybody looks at you and says, I got this figured out, turn around and run. Because he's like, believe me, I'm knee-deep in this. We don't know. We do the best we can. We try to use educated information. We try to be cautious, yet also knowing you have to push them, because if you don't push them, they can never perform at the highest level. We try to match all that together and then add in some luck. So,
that's it.
You know, hey, I am glad that you joined us today. I love these conversations. We're going to inch even closer to opening day. I saw that you've been helping out, retweeting and sending opening day stuff. We're excited about that contest. So, don't forget us. Check it out. You can learn more at twobirdsonabat.com. You'll see opening day giveaway. Click on that. It'll send you right where you need to go. And, you know, join us for opening day. Kyle, I hope you're down there and we can all hang out in the morning. Hopefully we'll have a patty. I'll be talking to our friends at Patio's. Hopefully we can get together with them and do another show and have a great time.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, next time I see it, I'll retweet it. I think that little contest you guys are running is awesome. I'm really glad you're doing it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. For all of our listeners, where can they follow you?
You can follow me at Twitter at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. I'm doing my Dirty 35, top prospects in the Cardinals organization, countdown of the top 35. Today we released a write-up of a kid named Angel Rondon, who I was told no one else has even mentioned as a prospect, so that's where I'm at. He's number 28 on the list. New write-up every day. After every five write-ups, we do a podcast. You can find that at Birds on the Black and iTunes, and we'll retweet that and all that stuff. But Prospects After Dark is Sunday at 8 o'clock. That's where you can find me. And, again, hit me up on Twitter. I like to talk about nonsense, so bring it.
Absolutely. All right, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Absolutely nothing better than a panel of experts when you're going to talk about something as interesting as this. And one last time, Kyle Reese, you know, he's tremendous. I love the guy. I love his passion. I know you guys enjoy him. And like he said, hit him up on social media because he loves it. But I want to thank one last time Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road, for their continued support of the show and bringing you Kyle Reese today. Our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, are going to bring in our next guest. Their four-pillar system is second to none, and they tremendously care about the people that they put in front of your son or daughter when it comes to training, when it comes to helping them develop both as a person and a player. So give them an opportunity if you're looking for a club, if you're looking for training. That is our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Check out all their academies. Check out their hit tracks. They got a new hit tracks machine. They also use Rapsodo, some of the latest stuff, technology when it comes to training in baseball. So that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Brought to you by GatorsBaseballAcademy.com is everybody's favorite, Moe's Algorithm. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. Sorry, running a little late. You know, Kyle likes to get long-winded, and when I texted you, I love this, because you immediately texted back, ha-ha, tell him Keuchel isn't that good. I love it. I absolutely love it. you're ready to go, obviously. Shots across the bow. So, first and foremost, I guess the question of the day is, with the news of Carlos Martinez, I mean, obviously we have to read into things, right? Because we don't know everything they know, so we have to read into it, right? Knowing what we know, maybe a little brilliant deduction, I want to know, with this news, what would Moe's Algorithm do? And then I want to know what Moe's Algorithm thinks the Cardinals are going to do.
So what I would do, I guess the issue I'm having is, do we know if Alex Reyes is ready to be in the rotation come opening day? Because if he's not, I think you need somebody. But if he is, you're probably okay in terms of the rotation, because you can just slide him in until Carlos gets back. So that's where my kind of hang up is. So there's a couple different scenarios here. What I would do is, let's just say that Alex Reyes is not ready to be in the rotation, but he's going to be okay in the bullpen. I would go add a starting pitcher. I would not add Dallas Keuchel. I know that's the big one on Twitter right now that everybody wants, is Dallas Keuchel. And sure, he's been good. He won a Cy Young. He's, you know, there's reasons why you would want him. The reason I wouldn't is because I feel like you can get decent production without committing 4 or 5 years to Dallas Keuchel from someone else. And that someone else for me is Gio Gonzalez. You're still getting the left-handed starter, which a lot of people clamor for a lot. And he's really projected by a lot of the different projection systems to have a decent year. He's 33. I think you could get him on a one-year deal, especially this late in the winter. So that's the route I would go if this Carlos thing is going to last a while and Reyes isn't ready to go in the rotation. I would sign Gio Gonzalez to fill that rotation spot, because I don't think you need to go in the deep end, you know, with a Dallas Keuchel signing to fill a hole that may not be all that permanent.
Yeah, it's if the Dallas Keuchel thing would be a possibility, I think it would be a 1 year deal. Like, hey, you want to do a pillow deal? We'll actually give you more money than what the average salary you were expecting were, but it's a 1 year deal. Or they also could be looking at it like, we know we're going to make some changes over the next 365, so maybe we want Keuchel for 3 years. I don't know. I don't know what their long-term plan is. I had told I had told Kyle beforehand that to say the Cardinals will do nothing or to say that they'll do this is really a tough call because they kind of went outside their comfort zone last year with the whole Greg Holland thing. So you can't say they won't do anything just because that's what they do, because that's not what they did. They felt they had a need last year. Just like this year, there was a talented pitcher available that a lot of people probably couldn't believe was available at this stage in the game, and they went out and signed him. And it doesn't matter that it didn't work. The signing was great. It just didn't work out. So, you know, it's a tough thing. And I like, you know, like you said, the Alex Reyes thing intrigues me. I believe this in my heart, though. He's only got, according to, you know, if you follow along, he's got X amount of innings, right? That's the way they handle this, correct?
Yep.
You know, do they use them early? Because they're forced to use them early and then figure it out in the end? Well, I would say this. If that's the new plan, it's better than most, right? If he's ready?
Yeah, and you know, you can – like I, that's what I was going with this permanent hole. Like, how long is this Carlos thing gonna hang around? Because if you're only asking Reyes to make four or five starts, then that's a lot different than if you're asking him to make 20, you know? So that's where they have to look at it and go, you know, what can we do to fill whatever hole Carlos is leaving with this shoulder issue? And, you know, it could be nothing. Like, they could be legit just be giving him 2 weeks right now and not pushing him, you know, and he could be fine come opening day. But if it is going to hang around a while, I think you look at a more permanent solution. And if that's sliding Reyes into the rotation and signing a guy like Bud Norris to fill his spot in the pen for a little while, there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. There's not. I don't care who it is. If you want to sign him to a one-year deal, sign him to a one-year deal. The bad deals come when you start making commitments to guys longer than that.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me. So I had told well, here's the deal. So you've told me what you would do. What do you think the Cardinals are going to do?
I think they probably wait it out, and they probably end up signing with Bud Norris and figuring it out, whether that's moving Hudson into the rotation and putting Norris in the pen, moving Reyes into the rotation and putting Norris in the pen, stretching Norris out for a few starts. I don't know. But that, to me, you know, when I look at the list of available players, the Cardinals tend to navigate to guys that they know in situations like this. And that would be one I think they'd be comfortable just going with.
Yeah, I could see that being the easy way out. I live in a fantasy land where you know, I would go – I told Kyle earlier, and I won't bore the listeners, but I'll tell you, my play would be to I can't believe they haven't reached out to Kimbrel and said, hey, where are you at? You know, what's going on? Have you come down? What are we doing? And then I'd go that way. You know, you've got so many young pitchers that are designed to start. I think they're talented enough. John Gant probably being the first to get a chance in the five spot. That's what I would do. And then that way, if Carlos, it turns out to be fine, all you are is really, really strong and really, really good. So, that's what I would do. I mean, imagine a back end bullpen. If Carlos winds up being okay and you only need a couple of starts from Alex Reyes, a bullpen consisting of Kimbrel, Hicks, Miller, Reyes, and then, you know, fill it in. Right. You know, but and that allows you to maybe give Gomber a look if you want the lefty in there. John Gant, who proved that he's probably, you know, he's probably a starter over a reliever, in my opinion. Ponce de Leon did some nice things. Dakota Hudson has been a dominant starter in the minor leagues. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know about you, but what I believe is what happens in the next 7 days or 5 days probably tells us how serious this thing with Carlos Martinez is. If they do nothing, that means they think he'll eventually be fine. I think if you start hearing rumblings, that means they're nervous. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think if there's one area that we don't need to panic about when it comes to the Cardinals' depth is pitching, right? I mean, they have a lot of options to be able to be flexible with a lot of different things. So I would be far more concerned if there was a position player having issues right now than someone like Carlos Martinez.
Well, I would agree, except for the fact that I just think, I mean, Carlos is a big deal. I mean, he's, you know, he should be, as I say, I'm not saying he's not any good. He should be in a Cy Young conversation. So, you know, why he isn't at times is up for debate, and I'm not going to get into that debate. But he has that kind of talent. He's got that kind of stuff. I mean, he has shown at times that he's every bit as good as the other guys that get mentioned in there. If we could just get the full season of it, I think he's in that equation. So that's why, for me, it's a little bit – like, I understand that we got a lot of young pitching, but a lot of young pitching, I'm not sure any of them are Carlos Martinez. So, you know, that being said, all we can do is deal with the hand we're dealt. I got to ask you a question. I asked this to Kyle, too. I mean, you brought him up. Naturally, he's going to get brought up in this equation, but I really want your thoughts on, like, you guys obviously love numbers and you love projections and you love things like this. How uber-talented do you think Alex Reyes is?
He's about as elite as a pitching prospect was. You know, I don't know. It's hard to – it's easier to project him before his injuries than it is now, you know, because there's just so many question marks. But, I mean, you're talking Alex Reyes was – if you look at it now, who's the Dodgers guy? Why am I struggling to think of his name right now? Oh, Walker Buehler.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Okay,
so
yep.
Between, like, Walker Buehler and Jack Flaherty, like, that's – you're putting Reyes up there and probably above them.
Reyes was ranked higher than Flaherty.
That's
his accolades,
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, if, like, for all those people that love Flaherty, like, Flaherty didn't get the love from the quote-unquote experts that Reyes has.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Reyes is above them. Like, that's how good he was. I mean, I say was. Because
could be. How about could be? We'll use
could
that.
Could be, yeah. Because, I mean, when you're dealing with Tommy John and then a lat tear, like, holy crap, those are drastic injuries. Those aren't just some shoulder tightness, you know. So, yeah, I would say if he can be fully healthy, he's an ace. He's your number one. He's like right now. I would rank them, you know, without Reyes. I would put Flaherty at one, Martinez at two, Michaelis at three, Walker at four, and Waino at five. And if you slide Reyes in there, then he slides into one, and everyone bumps down one.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing. I'm not 1,000% sure how this plays out. I would love to know, you know, the sky's falling, but yet I see Marcell Ozuna on a golf cart having a great time today, and supposedly he's in danger of missing the start of the season. You know, how much is the sky falling, and how much of it is just concern? I don't know. You know, would it be the end of the world if Tyler O'Neill was your starting left fielder at the beginning of the season instead of out? Instead of, you know, I mean, obviously you want, you know, you brought Ozuna over here for a reason. I get it. But if it was a week or two, you know, but is it concerning? I guess. I don't know. I always struggle with this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, who's saying he might not be ready? Like, where's that coming from?
I think it
from?
Came from a question thing with Hummel.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Is Mozeliak saying that? Is Ozuna saying he's not feeling right? Like, I read a report yesterday. He looks 110% at the plate. It's just kind of a throwing issue. Well, hell, he spent all last year with a throwing issue. So, I mean, are we really that concerned?
I'm not. I mean, I.
And we're, what, 40 days away still? I mean, a lot can happen in the next 6 weeks with injuries, you know. So I wouldn't panic about any of these guys right now, even Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, we're still a ways out, and like I said, I don't know for sure. Like, I mean, I'm sure Mr. Mozeliak or whoever would say, well, that guy certainly doesn't know what we're thinking, and I don't claim to know what they're thinking, but their actions probably over the next 5 to 7 days might tell you what they're thinking, only because they know. Like, they know if their doctors, and shoot, doctors are wrong sometimes, especially when it comes to sports injuries, only they know if they're like, this is simply a shoulder strength thing. He's just going to need a week or two. He's a week or two behind in shoulder strength. This is not a structural issue. This is not a he hurt it working out incorrectly. This is a simple thing where these guys typically do a program to where when they show up, they are ready to start intensifying what they're doing, and he didn't show up ready to intensify what he was doing. It could just be that. Now,
yeah.
Am I always concerned when a guy has a shoulder problem and he's had a shoulder problem in the past? Sure I am. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't, you know, but I know what I see, and I know what I've dealt with, and I know what I've been around. So, yeah, it's a concern.
Yeah, and I would go as far as saying if I'm not really concerned about any of them right at the moment, but if I was, I would still be more concerned about Wainwright than Martinez. I mean, that's an elbow issue that's gone on for years now. So when's that going to start barking again, like he likes to say?
Well,
you know, so
and that's the interesting thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that everybody always naturally assumed that in a perfect world, because everybody should, like, I understand the, listen, you do whatever you want to do out there, but there's a faction of people that are waiting for the shoe to drop with Waino. Okay, they're gonna give him the starting spot, and then eventually he's gonna run out of gas, and then it's Alex Reyes time, and that just falls right in line with the timetable of him to finish out the season as a starter. You know, what did we say last time? What Wainwright should probably get 4 to 6 starts, and if he can't handle it, out he goes. In comes whoever. Next thing you know, but that might be how it plays out, right? Well, now all of a sudden with the Carlos Martinez thing, instead of saving Reyes to cover the first domino to fall, so to speak, whether it be from ineffectiveness or whether it be for an injury, now all of a sudden maybe he's the cover at the beginning of the season and his season ends early because of his innings limits. And if that happens, it, you know, you just do what you have to do now and then deal with the rest later, I guess. But that's the interesting thing to me. And again, you brought up Wainwright. We hadn't thought about him yet. But, you know, I think we forget about his spot in the rotation and what we can realistically expect.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where I was going with, like, the Gio Gonzalez thing. Is, like, you know, like, you want to talk about reliable. That guy is reliable. He's only missed 5 starts 1 year. Otherwise, he's completed his season every year of his career. So, like, 1 year he missed 5 starts, and that's it. Like, this guy will put up 175 to 200 innings. So if you're concerned about Wainwright or Martinez or whatever from an innings pitch standpoint and you need to fill volume, that's my guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And like I said, I had said earlier to Kyle, I really don't know what to say when it comes to what they'll do. I mean, anybody, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are going to go, they're going to do nothing. And it's like, well, you can't really say that. They didn't not do nothing last year. I mean, they felt they had a need in spring training, and they went out and signed a guy to a 1-year, $14 million deal.
Well, not only that, they signed Norris and Holland in the spring.
Yeah.
Or at spring training. So, like,
yeah, I mean,
they made 2 moves last year around this time to add to the bullpen or the rotation. Because when they signed Norris, it was to stretch him out. So, like, they're not afraid to make deals to fill holes.
Well, I'll be interested to see. You know, more and more stuff's going to come out of this. Let's be realistic, right? Like, we're going to, you know, it'll be, this is going to get a lot of, you know, it's big news. So it's going to get a lot of pub, and we'll learn, as we should learn, what's really going on, and we'll go from there. So, well, I appreciate your time today, my friend, and I do want to thank one last time Gators Baseball Academy for bringing you to the show today. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can follow you?
On Facebook at Moz Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
All right, my friend. Well, hey, have you entered the contest for the opening day tickets yet?
I have not, no.
Well, you're eligible because that's a 2 birds on a bat thing. So you go ahead and you get to, and I know you have to drive, but I'm sure you might be able to take some time off to come to opening day and hang out with Benji Molina for a little while, go to the game with the fellas from 2 birds on a bat and experience a lot of fun. 3 tickets opening day. You could handle that, couldn't you?
I think I could, yeah. I think I could make that work.
Very simple. Go to twobirdsonabat.com, click opening day contest. It'll walk you through. I want to remind everybody, too, and I don't know if you know this or not, Mo, but once you've registered, there's a lot of things when you get there. You're going to say, oh, man, I do all this stuff and I get all these extra points. That is true. You can go back every day and click on the share on Twitter and share on Facebook. Click it. It'll uncheck. Click it again, and it'll let you tweet it again, and it'll let you Facebook again. You get more points every time you do it.
Oh, all right.
And then the more times you share it on social media, if somebody sees it and signs up, you get points for that as well. So, folks, you get to make points. You can do this every day, okay, and get points. And some people have realized that. There are some people that got a lot of entries in this because they figured it out, and they're doing it every day. So I just want everybody to know that that's, you know, take advantage of the rules. You can do it every day. And you simply just go back to the site through twobirdsonabat.com. To our friend Mo's Algorithm, we thank you for joining us, and I look forward to chatting with you next week, my friend.
All right, have a good one, Jim.
All right, that's Mo's Algorithm, the man, the myth, the legend. All right, now it's time to move on to the third member of our panel, as we're so fortunate to have a great panel to discuss topics just as these. This one, of course, brought to you by our good friends at lineupmedia.fm, home to Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it today for free in the App Store. You guys are going to love it. We've got some cool stuff planned with Cardinal Baseball for Yo Radio as well, which you won't want to miss. So I'm just going to give you a sneak. I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek of one of the first ways to accrue extra points, and it's going to be a big one for the entry into the opening day contest. It is going to revolve around you guys having Yo Radio downloaded on your mobile app. So I would tell you to go ahead and do it today, as you will probably find next week some information come out about how you having Yo Radio on your mobile device is going to get you a tremendous amount of extra entries into our opening day contest. But as Yo Radio grows and more people find it, we want to thank it for bringing us our friend. And now, straight, instead of from his new home, he's all the way from Jupiter, Florida, where he just watched the pitchers compete in their infield competition and then got to hear some takes. Let's welcome in Brendan Schaefer. What's going on, pal?
How are we doing today, Jim?
Well, number one, I'm envious that you're in Florida and I'm here in St. Louis where it iced up last night. That's number one. Number two, I'm also excited that you're there because you're going to get to bring us some firsthand stuff. And number three, I'm going to deviate from the question of the day just for a little bit because it looks like the Cardinals had some fun stuff going on there today. I want you to tell our listeners about it. And then we'll just see if you have any news whatsoever. You know, obviously we had big news yesterday. I think it's big news. Some people think it's big news. Some people think it's waste of breath. But I'll let you go into that too. So for today, it looks like they had a lot of fun and they had a pitcher's competition.
Yeah, it was the PFP championship that took place here at the Cardinals Field at Roger Dean, where the wind is blowing furiously right now. I can hear the palm trees, so if that sounds a little odd on the phone, I apologize. But yeah, Team Waino took home the championship today. The guys were doing four different drills. They had a pop-up drill, a drill where they had to field it and throw to first base or make that decision where the first baseman might have to take the ball and then flip to the pitcher. They did some grounders, and they did some ragball right at back at the pitcher with the fungos. And Wainwright's team was stacked, man. He had Alex Reyes was the first number one overall pick because Waino got the first selection based on seniority. He was the first team captain. So it was Alex Reyes, Genesis Cabrera, who looked like a left-handed shortstop fielding ground balls out there today, and number 71, Williams Perez, another pitcher in the minor league system for the Cardinals, that was the final pick on that team. And they cleaned up in the competition. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, Waino joking around afterwards said he and Alex Reyes were very strategic about knowing, you know, okay, what are they going to try to take off points for in this drill? We got to have a little team meeting because Waino seemed pretty intent on winning the reward for the championship, which was a day off at some point later on in spring training. So they had fun with that. It was good to see the guys kind of have an opportunity to be a little bit competitive, right? Because baseball is a competition, but it's kind of weird this week before spring training games start. A lot of times there's not a lot of competition infused into what the guys are doing on a day-to-day basis, but they were able to do that for the pitchers today. And I believe there could be a little something in store tomorrow for the position players. We'll have to wait and see exactly what that could be. But, yeah, guys, we're having fun down here. Things have kind of wrapped up for the day. Players still in the clubhouse kind of getting their lunch, getting showered, and getting out of here. But it was good morning in Cardinals camp for sure.
News yesterday, I'm assuming you were there yesterday, correct?
I was indeed.
Okay, so obviously we get news yesterday that Carlos Martinez is apparently not ready, not prepared to ramp up his throwing program. We can read it a thousand different ways. What's your take, and have you heard anything today to kind of follow up on what we found out yesterday?
Hasn't really been a whole lot of new conversation about it today, but, you know, yesterday it was definitely kind of jarring because in the morning session with Mike Schilt, typically he's just fielding questions from reporters. But after the first question was asked yesterday, he kind of stopped everybody and said, "I do have an announcement." And he kind of let everybody know what was going on with Martinez. And, you know, it's kind of a weird situation because it wasn't really clear to me whether there was something the Cardinals were wanting more from Martinez this offseason that he didn't do. I don't think that was necessarily the case. I just think whatever the work that he did put in was not quite enough as far as the specific strengthening mechanisms that he needed for that shoulder. And so right now they're in a position of they needed to get stronger. They want him to get through a full season and not have to break down multiple times like happened last year where he had to hit the DL for a couple of times. And then he was a reliever toward the end. And so, like, you said it yourself, there's a lot of ways we can read this because, you know, we hear different things from different people within the organization and different reports are out last season about, you know, Martinez's preparedness for starts. And so people are trying to maybe, you know, shoehorn that into, well, did he not work hard enough in the offseason? I don't know that that was necessarily the case, but I did see Mozeliak maybe expressing a little bit of discontent with the fact that Carlos was maybe with an off-site trainer for the winter, and so the Cardinals didn't have their hands on him perhaps as much as they would have liked. And so I think what we can deduce from all of this is that it's a situation that's got to be resolved and come to a head, right? Because, you know, Carlos is going to be one of the biggest pieces of this team, ideally, and you'd like to have him out there. And so the Cardinals, yeah, there's some frustration, and this is as much as they said it's a precautionary thing, it's not good news. You know, it's going to hinder him from being able to be in the rotation to start the season because he's just probably not going to have enough time to ramp up to that amount of a workload after being off, not throwing a baseball for 2 weeks. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. And if it's the biggest bummer of spring training for the Cardinals, I think, you know, you might take that because it's still fully possible that Martinez is back before too long. But it's definitely not nothing at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'll tell you the truth. That's the thing. It's not nothing, right? And I also agree with you that it may turn out to be just a blip, and that's fine too. But it's not nothing because now you have to deal with it, right? So I'm not gonna like freak out, but I also am realistic to the fact of he's a guy. He's not just a guy you were hoping to pitch with. I mean, let's face it. He's been your guy, right? Like he's been the most talented pitcher. Now, I know people will go, wait a minute. Flaherty was great last year, and Waka's been great at times, and all this kind of stuff. I think everybody would be kidding themselves if you didn't think that over the last few years, consistently from a stuff perspective, Carlos Martinez is lights out. There's no doubt about it, and at times has shown to be absolutely dominant. So this is not nothing, but it could be. Now, here's the thing for me, and I'm curious your thoughts. This is the question for the day. It's happened, so now you got to deal with it, right? It's like the 30,000-pound pink elephant in the room. You got to deal with it, right? So what do you do, and then what do you think the Cardinals are going to do?
Well, what I do is look at Martinez, do everything I can possible to communicate with him that, you know, the regimen and the plan that they can both agree on to get this problem resolved so that he can have the strength to be a starting pitcher. That's what I'd like to see happen. But as far as this wasn't exactly your question, I'll get back to it.
No, that's okay.
As far as what I expect to happen is that I don't think Carlos Martinez is going to end up a starter. Like, I'm bracing myself for that possibility this season just because the writing has felt like it was on the wall, starting with the Mike Maddux comments earlier in the week. Just all he was doing was saying, hey, wasn't he really good as a closer? Didn't you all like that? And that's fine to say, but I was just like, man, I just don't know. It just feels like one of those things that is going to slowly progress until suddenly it is. And Carlos Martinez is in release. And then the physical element of it comes out yesterday. I don't have a lot of faith. Somebody asked me yesterday when I was taking some questions on Twitter, like who's going to start the five most games for the Cardinals this year? Martinez is not on that list for me. I just don't have the faith in it right now at this time. And so hopefully, you know, I'm wrong about that. But right now I imagine he'll have more appearances at the bullpen because, you know, fool you once, fool you twice, fool you three times. How long does it go until, you know, the Cardinals decide to maybe take a different approach and just put him in the bullpen? I don't think that's the right move because I think these things should be able to be resolved unless it's like a, you know, an injury. Like other pitchers in the Cardinals staff, like Michael Wacha, other guys have had to deal with certain injuries to their career, and they change their regimen and they find one that works and try to deal with it. I'm not saying those guys are automatically not going to ever be hurt again. But, like, that's the process by which you try to approach these things. And so, ideally, that's what would happen for Martinez. What would I do, you know, as far as adding an outside pitcher? Like, I'm interested in Dallas Keuchel, but not for a bunch of years. I don't really know. We've probably talked about it in the past, what number I would put on that. Probably not above 4 years, I don't think. And that might even be stretching it there. And it's hard to say what his market really is because, of course, we saw Manny Machado ended up getting the $300 million that he had asked for all along. And so it really wasn't the case that even though it took until February, you know, Machado wasn't going to get paid as much because it was taking longer. He still got his money and Bryce Harper will too. And so the question for Keuchel will be, you know, does he have to take some concessions in what his ask initially was? So that's what I would do. I like the idea of a lefty. I like, you know, I just think he would be a good pitcher. What I think the Cardinals will do is nothing. They're not adding anybody. I mean, they just aren't going to. They've got a bunch of guys in camp. We can talk round in circles about whether that's the right move or not. And I think it's a fair conversation to have. Because a lot of these guys that are solid, that are trying to fight for roster spots right now, they don't have the experience in logging those innings at the major league level. And so, yeah, you've got 9 or 10 guys that you feel could definitely contribute, but you can already start to see the cracks forming in a Carlos Martinez. And while Alex Reyes looks really good right now and everything on him is only positive so far, that's still a situation that he's got to continue to pitch and then recover and see how that goes. You know, the other guys, we've talked about this before, that have their question marks around them. So I understand why fans especially want to see the Cardinals add somebody from the outside. That's just not the feeling, though, here that's going to be the case.
So let me ask you this question then, because, you know, I've said, and realistically so, that it's hard to say they won't do nothing because last year they didn't do nothing. They felt they had a need, and they went out and signed Greg Holland to a one-year $14 million deal. So they have demonstrated that if they feel they have a need and the market has allowed them to go out and do something, what I would call unorthodox for them, that they did take advantage of it last year. That situation, in my opinion, may present itself again this year in the form of Craig Kimbrell. Now, hearing you talk, it sure sounds like they're going to figure this out from within. Although people have been bringing up online lately, well, once again, you know, they talked this offseason again about all this payroll muscle and all this flexibility. And while, yes, they did add Andrew Miller and they did add Paul Goldschmidt, their payroll's actually down. And then they came out the other day and said they still have payroll muscle. So people are probably sitting here going, okay, here's your opening. Go sign somebody. But I ask you this question. Are fans mistakenly looking at payroll flexibility and muscle as adding another player? And the Cardinals, it feels to me, like want to have their payroll flexibility and muscle in the form of an extension for Paul Goldschmidt. That's how I read it.
Well, the Cardinals definitely want that. I don't think there's a lot of question about that. You know, we thought initially they might try to wait it out and play the wait and see game. That may end up happening, but it may not be by their choice. I would imagine they would be happy to get it done because, you know, they consider that their guy. You know, surprising to me that their pursuit of Harper kind of died away once they did get Paul Goldschmidt. I thought for a minute there it could work in the opposite direction, and it just didn't. You know, Goldschmidt was the prize of the offseason. That's the way they viewed it. And so to only have him for a year would be disappointing, and now you go to try to lock him up. And I think they wouldn't have, with all the diligence and different things we've heard about the Cardinals that need to take place before they bring a player into the fold, you know, the background, knowing things about the guy and everything like that, the fact that they went ahead and executed this trade says to me they're comfortable wanting him to be in the organization long term. So, yeah, there's going to be money involved in that if and when it does happen. And then, you know, you talk about other guys too. Miles Michaelis is a free agent after this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get something done with him before the season or early in the season, just because of the stability, kind of the arm that he is in the rotation. And I think he can be, you know, signed for, I'm not going to use the hometown discount term, but the idea is he's somewhere he's comfortable and you can probably come to an agreement, maybe more easily without as much contention as you might with some other players. And so, I think that's definitely a reasonable way to look at it. The Kimbrell thing, I don't think he's going to drop into a range the Cardinals could afford or would want to afford. You mentioned last year with Holland, I don't think Kimbrell's getting a one-year deal. I don't think he's getting a two-year deal. It's going to be, even if he asks for six, he may not get that. But it's going to be at least like three or four, right? So I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in range for that either.
Interesting. Last question before we go. Any concern in your mind about Marcell Ozuna? I know there have been some comments. I'm assuming what I read, I didn't see him myself, but it appears maybe Rick Hummel, in a give and take, had mentioned that there's a possibility Ozuna may not be ready for the start of the season. Have you heard anything about that?
He's not throwing. Like, that's a fact that he's not really throwing with any, like, sincerity, right? He's going to ramp up that throwing program. That's everything that we're being told from the Cardinals right now. And today Mike Schilt said that Ozuna would be, like, ready to roll as a DH on day one on this coming Saturday for the Cardinals' first Grapefruit League game against the Marlins. Whether or not he'll actually play in that, I don't think that was, like, specifically stated, but he's prepared to be in that role. It's just going to be a matter of, he's also got Yadier Molina, who's not fielding right now, and so Yadi could be the DH, and they could, you know, who knows who it'll be in that first game. So he's ready to hit, it seems like, but the fielding is going to be an issue potentially if it doesn't start ramping up at some point. But we've still got time before the season, so what the Cardinals are saying is they sound optimistic that, sure, everything will be fine. It's just part of the process that he just hasn't gotten to that point yet. But, you know, the rubber will meet the road when we see that actually happen, and if he's throwing and if it looks good and if he's progressing and staying healthy after throwing and everything like that. So right now I wouldn't say super concerned, but, like, it's something, people being aware of it is probably not a bad thing to kind of, again, from a fandom perspective, you're always kind of bracing yourself for the possibilities. You're not blindsided by something. Like, that's something you should be at least aware of. I'm fully braced for the Carlos Martinez situation not ending well as far as him being a starter. If you think he's a great closer, then you might get your wish and things will go great because maybe he's pitching out of relief because of the health issue. But with Marcell Ozuna, I'm not necessarily braced, but I'm definitely aware at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate your thoughts. The reporting from down there is awesome. It's nice to, really nice to have somebody on the ground that can tell you what they're hearing and get a feel. Sometimes, you know, Kyle mentioned it earlier in the show, you know, sometimes 280 characters can't really tell you the feel, but when you're there, you kind of get a sense of what the mood is. So we appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot going on down there. I'm going to let you get out of here, but before you go, make sure our listeners know where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find all my work at KMOB.com and the Baseball STL app. You can download that for free, and it'll give you some great Cardinals nuggets throughout the season. And on Twitter, it's at BSchaefer12. I'm trying to do daily periscopes in the evening time usually lately. So if you like the daily video wrap-ups, and you can shoot your questions my way on those, probably we'll have another one of those later tonight.
Well, I appreciate it, my man. I look forward to chatting with you next week. And we thank our friends at Yo Radio, lineupmedia.fm, the newest streaming platform, for bringing you to our show this week.
Absolutely, man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. That is Brendan Schaefer. Great thoughts from all of our guys today. I enjoyed it very much. Again, these are just opinions, seriously calculated opinions that have absolutely no guarantee of ever happening one way or the other, but it's the fun part of this whole thing, right? You know, interestingly enough, I don't think anybody on the panel today was, like, overly, like, freaking out. Doesn't mean that we won't all be freaking out a couple weeks from now, but for now, it sure seems like, you know, they probably can take a wait-and-see approach. I am intrigued. I've said it, and I'll stand by I'm so intrigued that Craig Kimbrell is still out there. I just don't know how your biggest problem the last few years has been the bullpen, and he's sitting there, and you find yourself in a situation where there's an opportunity, and you just may not take it. But again, I understand that they look at these things a little bit different, and I will continue to understand it, even though I may not agree with it. But I will say that there's a part of me that is always hoping that they look at it differently as the off season continues. And they've showed me last year that they are willing to move outside their comfort zone when it comes to that. So maybe that's false hope. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if it's false hope. The reality is, I think Craig Kimbrell takes this team to another level. So maybe I'm wrong, but we will find out. One last time, thank you very much to all the contributors as we enjoy it, to our partners. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, thank you for your continued support. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Their four-pillar system is what you should be checking out when it comes to helping your son or daughter become the player that they can be. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Available in Missouri and Illinois now as well. Don't forget our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7 o'clock. Find out if you fall in their delivery area. And also, get your orders in for box lunches if you want to take care of clients, employees, parties, whatever you need. They've got you covered. They got a great contest going on right now with Blues NHL Podcast. I would suggest everyone to go check that out if you're interested in joining those former Blues players for a great live episode that they do. Adam Smokehouse food, beer, enjoyments, everything you can want if you're a Blues fan, especially with the way they're playing right now. Go check them out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. You can learn more about us at TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the show there. The most important thing you can do now is enter the opening day tickets giveaway. Make sure you do so. It'll walk you through it. It's very simple to do. There's an opportunity for you to get tons of entries. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. Make sure you like our Facebook page. And, of course, you can find us as we try to build our Instagram following, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Thank you to lineupmedia.fm and everyone over at Yo Radio for allowing us to be a part of the great things you've got coming up with Cardinal Baseball. To all of our friends out there, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.